Hello and welcome. This is the Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript format. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you can find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you are unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply take note of the episode number and then visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use the search functionality to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, or transcript version of the episode. You might also find any links that we referenced during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research. If you're not listening to this episode of the Cole Memo on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/patreon. It's a great way to support our show, but one of the best ways to support our show is absolutely free. Subscribe to or follow the show. Leave us a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, or share it with your best friend. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Today is April 9th, 2024, and I'll be sitting down with Charles Flanagan. Once again, folks, sitting down with Charles Flanagan, I am going to have their link tree in the podcast description. So once again, if you just look below, you'll see all of the links so that you can get connected. There'll be social media links and everything else. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Cole. Glad to be on the show, brother.
And if you could tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? All that good stuff.
Hey, so where I'm from, I was born in California, or Orange County, baby. Born and
Oh, yeah.
raised, but then I moved to Pacific Northwest, Kirkland, Washington. Kirkland, first place where Costco was originally, Kirkland Brand Select. So I lived there, went to school there, went to college out there, and shortly after, couldn't deal with the rain. It's the number one place for rain and all that bad weather kind of stuff. So I moved to where I currently reside now, and I have been for the past couple of decades, and that's in Arizona.
Yeah, no rain there.
No rain, man. I went from one extreme
Hell
to another. I had to.
yeah. Well, how when did you move to Arizona again? Sorry.
I
What
moved to
was
Arizona in 2000, 99, 2000. So right before, again, another one of our big apocalypses that I lived through. At that time, we had Y2K. So I was there at 99, moved here 99, right before 2000 hit.
Yeah. Are you referencing the eclipse that was yesterday? Everybody thought that the world was going to end or something.
100%, 100%.
Yeah.
So I'm, you asked me how I'm doing. I'm glad we're both still here.
Yeah.
Obviously, there wasn't a big apocalypse, and we avoided it.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, we did. Hell yeah, we did. Well, that's super cool. So I want to get to some of the things you do, but how has it been in Arizona, like? Was I'm guessing you liked it since you've been there for what, 24 years now?
For a minute, right? As colloquially put, I like AZ. The place that I actually reside in is a little suburb of Phoenix called Gilbert,
Okay.
Scottsdale, And it was actually coincidentally was ranked the number two safest city in the U.S. And it has one of the highest median income. So I like my little bubble. I kind of joke. I call myself the mayor over here. Very suburb, very small, very family oriented place. But I'm always seen out about, running, doing my little thing, smoking, shirtless. So yeah, I love where I live.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. That's cool. I'm glad that it has worked out for you. And then obviously, you just mentioned smoking. As far as all that goes, they legalized. When did they legalize it? Do you, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, no, I, no, we, so we're about what? Are we 2 years, 3 years in? I want to say
Okay.
2000, yeah, 2019, so like I want to say pre-pandemic, right? Right when it was hitting, we were one of the first ones to go legal. So, and it's been nice. And it's going to be even better when we get, the psilocybin, legal on our side. So, we still have that on a few ballots. So, you guys, if you guys see it coming across, make sure you big, push for it. But other than that, man, I like AZ. Our market's a little different than most, man. Our market's very, very med driven, opposed to some of the markets that, have a rec, driven, base.
Interesting. Interesting. I have a friend that lived in Arizona for a while, and I can't remember where exactly, but he had mentioned Scottsdale before, so that rang a bell. So maybe he was around there. But yeah, he said that the prices were not too bad, where he would shop, which was cool to hear, at least from a, from a rec perspective. But yeah, so like I'm curious, have you always been, 'cause like I, Tony is the person that, or sorry, Troy. No, Tony. Tony is the person that I'm getting my names mixed up. Tony is the person that connected us, and he told me when he first told me about you, he's like, "Dude, Charles is awesome, blah blah blah." He's like, "Check him out too. He's fucking ripped." And I checked out your social media. I was like, "God damn!" So let me just ask this question just to dive right in. Have you always been like into fitness, or was it like a transformation thing for you? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that is, it's a great question. I want to say fitness and training and working out has always been at the cusp. Man, I love how you're blazing. I'm about to get mine. But it's I want to say it's been a lot more intentional, a lot more academic.
Okay.
I got recertified and got master certified with ISSA. I've been dabbing into a lot of other modalities, connected to it. So my dad got me started training when I was 8. At that time we didn't know what ADD was, ADHD was. He just had a kid who was off the walls, right? He couldn't keep him, settled. So like, he just got me training. So he got me a weight bench. It was super, kind of ghetto at the time, but it served its purpose. And that's where I started. Again, a lot of the things that were, practical, or science at the time are now kind of like pseudoscience. So it was always thought that if you train or you do any kind of weight training, it stunts your growth and it, impedes your growth.
Right.
But here I am at 44, I'm 6 foot, 185, right? What did it stunt? I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a school of thought that maybe I would have been 6'5", whatever. But again, it was one of those things that always helped me. And so now, I translate that to my cannabis, and it has definitely helped boost that, the mind muscle connection. Some of the things about training that, sometimes are tough, like sometimes training can be hard. You don't always want to train. People always say to me, how do you find motivation? Cannabis is a great motivator, right? It's a great anxiety suppressant, but it basically allows you to kind of lock in and tune out, so, cannabis has been my kind of cheat code, to unlocking, the other half of my body's potential at 40s, right?
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Now, so first of all, I got two different directions I could go in here. I'm just gonna say I remember being told the same thing as like a younger man. Like I was like, I remember wanting to join the football team, and I remember being kind of like intimidated by weight room. And I remember some of the adults kind of like making me feel better about it by saying, "Cole, like, you're so young that if you start working out, you are going to stunt your growth. So don't even do it anyway." Like, I remember being told that, what you just said,
We all were told that. We all were told that for a long time. So I had a track coach, and my track coach, the biggest thing that he was, he discouraged was any type of weight training or strength training altogether. Like, I went away from him, the guy that kind of, gave me my basis, my mentor in sprinting. And I put on a lot of size. I put on a lot of strength, all this kind of stuff. And the first thing he did, he's like, yo, you look like trash. He's like, you're too big. You're never going to be able to run. And now, like that, things have evolved. Have you looked at the way a sprinter looks now? Like a sprinter, they look like a little football player. They're very big, lots of dense, lots of compacted muscle, because we understand that strength or sprinting, it's a what do you call a force application? The more force that you can apply, the faster you're going to be. So that means you got to be big, you got to be strong. Oh, I
Sorry,
lost
I
you.
was muted. I was muted. My apologies. Another thing you mentioned was kind of the idea that your dad like was like, "Dude, this kid's bouncing off the walls." I relate to you not. I mean, actually, I do relate to you in ADHD because I like struggle with that as well, but one of the things I try to do as best as I can is just do some sort of workout every day for 30 minutes at least. And I find that if I do that, if I just exert some energy, that, you know, some days like most days I can control my temper, but sometimes it gets the better of me. And I find that that happens to also be the days usually that I haven't like exerted some energy.
Well, you know, even, you know, scientifically, not anecdote, but there's a direct correlation with the output and when you exercise to how it boosts serotonin. You know, I don't know what your, condition is or whatever, but I know that me, you know, I've always suffered from anxiety, depression, some form of dis-ease. And the only way that I've been able to balance myself out or, you know, ramp that serotonin back up, you know, is training, right? And they've done a lot of science behind it. Like we are literally like, you know, the proverbial rat on the wheel, right? When you see the rat on the wheel, he's not doing that because he needs to exercise. He's doing that because it boosts his serotonin. So it makes him feel good. So again, we're kind of like that. Once we kind of keep in that perpetual motion, we kind of get, you know, energy going. And I tell a lot of my clients, because everybody wants to feel good and look good, but I'm like, the first thing about looking good is you got to feel good first, right? So, you know, I make everybody go out, walk, get active, man, get out in the sunlight. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. And that's, you know, I just want to say that for our listeners, it can be as simple as that. And you can work your way up to some of the things that you can see Charles doing on his social media. But I think, wouldn't you agree that just a starter is just like walk 30 minutes a day? Like if you're not
Man.
working out at all.
Bro, it's the biggest cheat code. It's one of the biggest things you can do to adding on time to your life. It's just walking. It's one of the best things. Ancestral, primordial, it's one of the things that we were designed to do. So you said it best, Cole. Get out and walk.
Well said. Now, like you, so like how did you just see an angle growing up to be like, well, like I enjoy working out, makes me feel better, helps me kind of like, for lack of better words, control myself, right? You mentioned the ADHD thing.
Yes.
When did you think like I could make money doing this? Or
Yeah,
like, you
so
know, do it as a living?
yeah, well, so the biggest thing that I started to know, or the correlation between seeing the training, was it wasn't how much money I was making. It was kind of the indirect, right? Well, it
Okay.
was the fact that by training and by how I looked, I got a lot of attention, right? I got a certain degree of attention or response that then gave me control, which then helped me to make more money, right? So it was an indirect thing that it did. And
Okay.
then there was this validation feedback loop that I tell, you know, all my clients about. You know, you start training, you start changing, and then people are like, hey man, you know, Cole, man, you look really good. What are you doing? You're like, oh, well, you know, it's funny that you asked. I've been training. Then what do you want to do? You want to keep training, right? Because you get that validation, right? They give you the feedback. And it loops, right? You want to keep doing it. So it's that validation feedback loop that we keep putting into it with training. And you know, for me, I was like, man, you know, I haven't always been as able to, like, you know, relay my feelings or, you know, communicate the way I, you know, express the way I feel. This hasn't always been one of the, you know, easier things for me. So I felt like my training and my body was always my best form of expression, right? Like people would see that and they're like, yo, this guy, before anything else, they say, yo, he's committed. You know, because that's one thing you could say before anything else, to whatever degree, you know about me, you know, like at least to some degree, this guy takes care of himself, right? He looks like he eats the right thing, he trains, he cares. So then I started to see how people were like, hey, I want to do that. How can I do what you do? And so that's kind of where I've been at now. Cause you know, everybody thinks like, you know, they throw in all these crazy words like motivation and, you know, genetics and like, you know, they matter not, man. They really don't. Like if you were to see my family, you're like, yo, how did you do what you've done? You know, and then, you know, no shade to my family, they do whatever, but you know, it's one of those things that like I've seen where we could potentially go. I've seen what could potentially happen. And I didn't want to go down that road. You know, so a lot of the things that I do now are, you know, like, you know, I always love to travel, I always love to go around. But I never want to be inhibited, right? Like if I want to go to the beach in Saint-Tropez or wherever it is, I want to be able to run on the beach. You know what I mean? I don't want to be in a walker or you know, or mobile. I want to be able to do everything. If I want to go out to, you know, to India, I want to be able to walk up and down. You know, I want to do what the people do. So for as long as I can do it.
I think one of the parts that I struggle with currently is, and I say struggle with, I just mean I should get better about, is eating the right thing. That's something you said. This guy eats the right things, and I feel like I, you know, I indulge in too much of what I like love, and I don't know how to like. I need, but I also feel like I need to stop looking at it that way. Like, you know what I mean? And redirect that energy to like, there are very tasty, healthy options. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's a different thing too, man. Like, you know, it's you know, both of them are very hard. You know, I would say like that me being disciplined and choosing what you quote unquote a healthier option or whatever. It's just this, you know, it comes with a degree of difficulty, right? But you know, conversely, I want to say that like what I look at it as, you know, I look at it as my food is literally my fuel. You know, like when every meal that I eat, I'm like, yo, this is gonna do this for me, or it's gonna give me these cuts. Like I don't look at it as far as, you know, a point of satiation. I just look at it as this is just my fuel source. Like I'm a machine. Your car doesn't get excited about the gasoline that you put in it. It just goes on it, right? And that's the way I liken it. You know, so like if you can get very, you know, mechanized, very methodic about the way you look at food. And a lot of it is, you know, our relationships with them. You know, a lot of people, you know, food has always been a comfort for them. You know, like a lot of people, when things don't get right, you know, when things are out of their control, food has always been that consistent, that constant companion that you can go to, and he's going to give you that comfort, right? He's going to hug you. He's going to tell you, yo, it's okay. You know, and that part of it, bro, especially, you know, for us who consume in cannabis, bro, it kind of is like the there's nothing better than having a hard day smoking, right? And then, you know, having the munchies. Like it kind of goes hand in hand. Like it feeds that. But you know, in the same instance, there's other things that you can do that are going to be rewarding in the long term, you know? So, but yeah, man, like for the longest, and I want to say that I was always so good at, sorry about that. Here, give me one second.
Oh, it's all good.
So, you
Now.
know, for me, you know, way I grew up, everything was fried. You know, my dad, you know, it wasn't like he had a very good understanding about food, and nobody kind of gave him this form of instruction. I had a lot of issues, bro. I had stomach issues for as long as I remember. Some kind of gastrointestinal, like for as long as I can remember, I've always consumed dairy. You know, I want to say 85, if not 90% of African Americans, if not people, are lactose intolerant. You know, as much as people like it, dairy is such a fun thing, it is incredibly harmful to human beings, right? So that's one of the things that I didn't know, and I consumed in excess, bro. Like I love cheese. I love cheese. I love dairy. You know, it would have been a glass of milk, could have been cheese on everything.
Hell yeah.
And you know, I was having lots of inflammation, having a lot of issues because my body wasn't able to digest it. You know, when you're doing that, you know, essentially when people have a lactose tolerance, when they can consume it, their body has an enzyme that allows them to basically break it down. We're not supposed to be consuming, you know, cattle, you know, or, you know, cow milk. We're supposed to be having, you know, human milk. So again, people who can, their body has an enzyme and they can take it in and receive the nutrients, right? If you don't, your body can't break it down. So that acid, all that, it's just spurting it out because your body's poisoning itself. It's trying to break down something that's very foreign to the system. So, you know, I didn't know these things. These things weren't brought to my attention, you know, like, so, you know, vegan, you know, paleo diets, all these different forms of, you know, ways to administer, you know, your consumption weren't available. They just weren't at the time, you know. So, you know, my thing, my story about it, you know, along with the cannabis has been, you know, a journey of just understanding. You know, I went to doctors, you know, when I was having my anxiety, my depression. You know, whatever it is, I got a bunch of pills. I got addicted to benzos, and I got addicted to anti-anxiety pills. I was hooked on Xanax, and I became an alcoholic. It was a long, very vicious cycle and spiral down. Cannabis was my gateway back. It was what gave me control. It was what gave me everything that I have now. So, like now, there's so much advocacy I have for, you know, cannabis along with training. You know, being, you know, the gateway to better, you know, living and understanding.
Man, one of the things you said earlier really resonated with me about food and kind of looking at it almost just as a fuel source. Because what you made me realize, and I'm saying this because I hope it, maybe it's familiar with other people, like sometimes I gravitate to the old meals I had as like a kid, like pizza, you know, something as simple as pizza. Like I can get a certain type of pizza, and it'll what it'll do is it brings back memories of like, oh yeah, this is the pizza I've always had. I love this pizza. You know, like you know the experience. And I don't know, like you just made me realize like I don't think I was ever conscious of the fact that that's, I'm kind of like right, kind of living in the past. I don't mean, at least for me, I'm not trying to say, speak for others, but for me, sometimes I live too much in the past with regard to things like that, it kind of indulge so that it'll like comfort me. You know what I mean?
I think you're spot on though. I think though,
I
Cole, I think
realize
that
that.
all of us do. And I think that it was very, very astute, observation on your part to say, yo, so funny. I remember when I was eating pizza, it reminded me of when I was young.
Yeah.
Most people can do that. And that's what a lot of us do, right? Like, hey man, my lady, she's like, yeah, I remember when I was young, when we had a hard time, mom would do this. It's right where she went to. She didn't go to anything. Mom would do this, and this is what it made me feel, right? It
Yeah.
wasn't even about the taste of it. We very like the taste is like the is like the literally it's a sidebar. It's
Thank you.
what
Yeah.
it felt, right? It's like how it made us feel and the feelings associated with it, right? So, almost the takeaway from that is like, what if you took that away and just got back that feeling? Like, and since, like when I was young, I used to eat pizza. I remember when I was young, it reminds me when I used to have that pizza. So
Yeah.
what's something else you used to do when you were young? So like, again, my buddy or one of my clients. When he was young, he used to just go out walking all the time. They, because he didn't have a car, they didn't have anything, and so that was one of the things we did. Like we literally parked somewhere random. We just started walking. He goes, "Yo, this is so wild. It reminds me when I was young. We used to take the bus, and he just the smile he had on his face, just taking in all the stuff that, again, like a child would be very new. You know what I mean? It'd be like just like experiencing over again. And it's almost as experiential as that pizza that we had or whatever it was. Like when you said pizza, bro, you got me, because one of the biggest things that I remember coming up was in Cali, my mom, me, my brother, sister, she would get Domino's pizza, right? And she would get us, cream soda. So do you know what I do? Do you know where on my happy spot? Do you know what I go to? And
Domino's cream soda.
it's never hit the spot like that first one. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But it just always takes me back, bro. So when you said that, it almost reminded me of it too, because my lady's like, why do you even eat that? You didn't even really like it. I'm like, oh, maybe I don't, but I thought about it. It makes me feel good, So that's true.
Yeah, dude. It's weird. It's like, maybe it's not so weird. Because it's a common pairing, but my thing is, yeah, pizza and a Coca-Cola. That's just like, does it for me.
Mother's milk to me,
Yeah.
man, it hits the spot. It like it
But
hits the spot.
what you just said, I didn't realize it's about, it doesn't, it's not even really about necessarily how it tastes. Like, I can acknowledge that some of the things that I eat, like some of my mom's old recipes that I'll prepare, it's not even that it tastes great or, as I'm acknowledging, has great nutritional value. It's about that goddamn feeling it gives me, it's like, oh, I can think about like, oh, I remember the first time my mom made this for me, and how happy, like you say, I could go through all my own personal anecdotes, but that's so powerful. Yeah, in a weird way, this is therapeutic.
Oh man, and it is, it's, you know what, and you asked me what got me into this is exactly this. It's always being able to share and, being like, yo, this is what I did, and, again, conversely, when I was going online, it was like, I was experiencing other people who were doing things and who were like, yo, you know what I did? I would just start walking. There's a buddy of mine that, he was going through addiction. And I'm like, how did you do it? Because at one point, this is like a mentor of mine, like this guy was on top of the world. He was the manager of a bank, like when he was 21, like, I mean, he
Wow.
was that guy. And then he went from that to sleeping in his car. You know what I mean? And I'm like, how and what? And he goes, you know what I became at that point in my life, I didn't like me. And that was the thing, right? And then I had to switch that. I had to get into a phase where I love me. And that meant, instead of sleeping in, just self-deprecating behavior, not taking care of myself, I would wake up at 5 in the morning, go on a run, shave, wash my face. There was things that he did to put into himself. So that was a lot of what I realized. A lot of the behavior and a lot of the things that I was doing, it had nothing to do with how I really felt about me. It had to do with abuse and other things that I wasn't dealing with, I wasn't addressing, So, yeah, man, when I'm having this and I see you smile and, you're able to share, parallels, I'm like, bro, that's food for my soul. That's my soul food, bro. That's my chicken soup for my soul, to be able to share those pearls with people, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. So yeah, on that note, thank you for sitting down with me. I just wanted to say that before we moved on any further, because as you can tell, I'm still processing this, and I'm probably even going to watch this conversation back, which is something I don't usually do with my own podcast. I don't know. You just said a lot of things that have as I told you before we connected, I've not been the best, like mentally. I'm much better, and that's why we are connected right now, Yeah, these are some of the things that we're talking about right now that I still struggle with. And it's just really, like I say, helpful. And it gives me something to focus on going forward. And I'm hoping, not to make this all about myself, I'm hoping that anybody listening right now that might be going through a similar, path, might also find some of these things helpful. Because one thing I heard recently that reminded me that I needed to speak to you was somebody said, you can't outrun your diet. And I was like, God damn it. I'm trying to outrun my diet, you know?
Yeah, no, man, and it is true. You know what you said to me, and going back to you, all these things are very tough. What I want to thank you for is your transparency. Like the last time we spoke, you're like, hey, kind of going through a rough point, and you were very transparent about it. What I appreciate that is, I don't think as men and as humans, we do that enough. Like it's really become kind of part and parcel where we just ignore it, or we just deny it, we suppress it, and it's an unhealthy thing, right? It's for the fact that you've had your podcast that you've allowed to have a space for people to talk. I'm like, man, I want to kind of do the same. I want to also to be able to be able to share with you some of the things. So I appreciate that with you. But yeah, to your point, bro, I haven't been the best mentally. One of the best things that I do for my health has been exactly what we're doing now, because like, bro, I'm not always good. Like I've been really not good lately, but when I'm putting myself out there and I'm kind of telling it out to the world, I hear it, right? I also have people who care about me that are out there giving me accountability. So, to me, the importance of you and me holding space for one another and just being there for one another is everything, bro. It's everything, I'm it's hard for me because like I wasn't always there for people who I need to hold space for. So, my thing now is I'm never not gonna not be there, some form of function. Like what you said was exactly my line that I've kind of exchanged on a lot of different podcasts. I don't know if who needs to hear this or whatever, but somebody will need to hear this. Like somebody will be going through a tough time. Yeah, I just got I went through a shave, right? So my barber is always the most gregarious, like upbeat dude. And he was in a bad spirit. He's just, the world's got to him. I said to him, like, big bro, head up, crown all king, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, want you to be down. Like the world is going to get you down, but you can't be down. You know what I mean? So with you, bro, like I get it, I feel it. I was there, and I appreciate you being able to be here. Like I said, I'm probably gonna look back at this and appreciate everything that you said to me that I've been reflecting on. So
Yeah, dude. Well, one of the other things that you mentioned that I just wanted to give you some space to speak about. I don't know if you've ever spoken about this, but since you mentioned it, I've got friends that have dealt with this before, and I think it's just important to acknowledge. I'm not necessarily looking. I mean, if you have advice on it, definitely feel free to share. But you mentioned an addiction to benzos, and I think that through all this and through this conversation, health professionals have tried to offer me medication, and I'm like, hey, look, I don't need medication. And I'm not saying like if I was sick or something, I wouldn't take it. But and like if I was really, really mentally struggling, like if I was seeing shit or something, it's like, okay, I obviously need like some medication. But I'm just like going through a tough time, and like I'm just trying to get back on my feet type of thing. And it's like you'd be surprised how much shit they throw at you. And then you read the side effects, and it's like even to sample something like an SSRI or something, like you start on it and it might work, but if it doesn't, you have to like wean yourself off, kind of like I've heard benzodiazepines, so that you don't like have fucking shocks to your system and like, I don't
Oh
know,
yeah.
die.
Yeah, the thing that they don't tell you is a lot of these things are initially the initial usage for them was they were used as anti-seizure medications. right? So as
Oh.
much as they were used, because what they do is they simulate a part in the cerebral, and it might be the cortex. I'm off. Please, whoever's sleuths are, don't quote me on that. But what it does in the brain is it triggers that thing that suppresses that response to have a seizure. Here's the thing that they don't tell you is if you never had seizures, right? They can induce them too. So like here I was, like you said, shocks, full ass seizures, bro. Like when I went off, like I was having real seizures. So what I would tell you is me going off Xanax, I would never the that. Whole thing was the worst pain that I've ever dealt with. Like I've never, like people wonder why I train so hard and why, that and the detoxing from alcohol, there's nothing that I can overcome. Like I can literally walk in the fires of hell, right? Because of that. And again, it's hard to talk about it. It's I got a buddy that I talked to. I was on a podcast with a good friend of mine, and we were talking, and we were talking about pills and consumption, and I'm not an addict because think about it. How do you call yourself an addict with something that your doctor gives you?
Right.
How do you call yourself an addict? How does society even anecdotally even call themselves addicts, right? Because everybody's doing it, right? And that's when I'm like, again, I'm not the most popular guy, but I'm like, yo, I'll be the Ebola guy. I'll be the monkey to say, look, listen, we all took the poison. We all got really sick, and it's a whole.
Okay, so we'll just briefly acknowledge that today is a new day. It's April 11th. Charles, thank you for sitting back down with me. We're completing our conversation. We were just talking about you had said, how can you be addicted to something that a doctor gives you? And you were talking about, how we all started using, maybe we went towards medication and then we got sick, worse off than where we were before.
And where I was going with that is it starts a lot of the self-delusion. When you get something that is given to you by your doctor, you have you're under the guise that there's no way possible that this can ever harm me. At whatever amount you consume, you still never ever look at it as though it's an addiction. That's why there's such a dissonance. When you're talking to the general populace about the opioid crisis and the amount of addiction, that we have every day, that, the majority of people that consume these drugs are addicted, So yeah, it is just one of those things that, to talk about in the space or to even say, hey, I got addicted by something my doctor was giving me, which is something that, it's not, relatable. It's something that, we tend to just ignore, or cast out, So why, and I said that on this last podcast, because one of the things that he had talked about, and one of the things that I was vocalizing to you, you said, you've had some struggles, and I, was very vocal in mine, is that any of this thing that we're going through, whether it be, the origin of my addiction or the one that I was on the podcast, his addiction or whatever it is, a lot of it streams from, whether it be trauma or things that happen to us that, we're having a hard time combating or handling, for whatever that is, And, the way that society's been now is that it's not societally acceptable to kind of talk about some of these issues, to talk about struggling, having issue, being in need, needing help, And the reality is that I've now been facing the more and more I do these is that everybody is in the same exact situation. I guess we can find solace, and there's nobody that I've talked to that's not having a struggle right now. There's nobody I talk to that internally and in some way or form isn't really struggling with something, And I said to you before, one of the things that had happened to me, I've had ADHD, depression, anxiety. I've been riddled with some form of dis-ease since I can remember, as they're always feeding us things, right? And now the reality of it is that, we're all collectively kind of in this situation. We're all, realizing, yo, this is what we're all kind of faced with right now after realization that, man, we went through a really toxic situation, consuming all these drugs, getting addicted, and now we're kind of in this awakening, this general sense of awakening, and we're all kind of talking about it. And I think that's the collective consciousness. We're all getting it into the air. So, there's nothing wrong with it. One of my guys was telling me how, part of his sobriety road is recovery. He's like, I was doing really well, man, and then I relapsed. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay too. Because that in itself is part of the human condition. We get so consumed with, thinking that failure is final, and it's just not, it's just not, So yeah, no, that's the biggest thing that I'd say that I have really, really loved within this journey of plant medicine and plant science is just really connecting with myself, connecting with the things that are important, and the dissolution of things that really don't matter. My ego, who I am, black, white, all the shit that we just get so stuck in our head. Like, I was a model for a long time, bro. So, what I can say that most people don't deal with is I was used to society, looking at me and from rip just saying, yeah, you're not it. Can you imagine, going to castings or every day somebody looking at you like, yeah, you're not it. You're not good looking. You're not that. You're not. And that was what it was. It was based wholly on my appearance goal,
Right.
So yeah, sorry about that tangent, but that was a lot of things to fill in that I couldn't put in the last little tidbit.
Yeah, no need for apologies, man. And there's so many different ways I could go with that, but let me try to like approach it. You just sparked a lot of thoughts for me. One of the things that I just wanted to like say again that you said earlier that I do think is important, and it's the reason I was so excited to continue this conversation with you, is I think it is good for us both to talk about our struggles, because I don't want to be too cliche here, but social media, you always see the highlight reel. And I've talked to people about my mental struggles, and some people are surprised. They're like, Cole, but I'm not even going to say what they've said about me, but I'll just say like what I thought about you. When I looked up at your social media, I was like, man, this guy's in good fucking health. I bet you he's just fucking like, because I'm seeing, what you want to share in the world. And again, I'm not trying to be too cliche about it, but I do think it's good for us to talk about the fact that we do have struggles, and for you to acknowledge that basically everybody you talk and everybody I talk to, like you say, there is some solace in knowing that you're not alone. And maybe, your situation is somewhat unique. You aren't alone in facing, trials and tribulations. And I just wanted to dwell on that for a moment, so.
Man, and I love the way you worded it. You worded it perfectly. I may not be, I'm not alone, and my situation may be unique, but I am not, and it really is. And I think that right now, especially right now, with all the craziness going on, I can't say it for any other time in the, in history, but I can say like right now, we're all universally tethered on, just a lot of the craziness that's going on in the world. You know what I mean? And so, with that being said, and with the fact that, you have so many things going on, people passing, COVID, whatever that craziness is, I really am that guy who's been, enjoying and embracing every day. You know what I mean? Like, making every day my masterpiece for whatever that looks like,
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, just really quick, another thing that I think, just on the topic of just like prescription drugs and, that relationship with the doctor in general, is that we have this idea societally, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but like I think you're going to see how I related this here, because I do think it's an important conversation to have. It's not so much about mental health, it's more of like a societal comment. We have this idea of what intoxication is, right? And so like with, I could say drunk and you've got a cartoon playing of somebody drunk right now, or I could say high and you can mental image of somebody sitting in front of a couch, or sitting on a couch watching TV, eating snacks or something. I don't know. Again, cliche, but it gets a little bit nuanced when you consider these other forms of intoxication. I mean, I always say coffee,
Right,
Like I can
right.
drink too much coffee easily, and then it's just as bad as if I smoke too much weed. I can't focus. But it's not that I couldn't drive a car. It's not that I couldn't, balance or whatever else, but I am intoxicated. And so I guess I don't, I obviously can't make the direct connection, but some of these drugs, these SSRIs, Xanax, and everything else, I've heard of people talking about the fog they get into. And it's interesting. There's no conversation about intoxicated driving when it comes to those drugs, right?
Right, 100%. And there's so much science and not anecdote with what happens when you drive under the influence of those.
Yeah.
So not only SSRIs, but some of the like psychotics, and some of the benzos, you can have blackouts. So they advocate. There's different types. One of the first accidents I got into was at an argument, you know, and again, why we take our Xanax or whatever is just because we don't want to deal with what's going on. I took it, I got in my car, and I got into a wreck because I passed out behind the wheel. You know, I hadn't eaten, you know, and anything like that. So, you know, it is, it's still that conversation that, you know, the elephant in the room. We don't want to have it. You know, nobody wants to have that because so many of the people that like should be having that discussion are the most addicted. You know, like I said, you know, the other day, man, some of the biggest lies we tell are the ones we tell ourselves. No, I'm not an addict. No, man, that's cool. I can stop whenever I want to. You know what I mean? The thing that is the challenge that I have and the disconnect with cannabis is that we know we talked about this, you know, but you know, you have a part of your body that helps you upregulate. You have an ECS system that helps you upregulate and consume it. You know, they've found the relation to the ECS system and pain management. So it's not anecdote. It's like you actually have something, whereas you don't have something that helps you to consume alcohol or the poisons. You know, what you liver, right? You know, you do too much, that's liver toxic, and you did too much and you just die. So whenever, again, you know, people are making the correlation, they're saying cannabis and alcohol are they the same? It's not the same. You know, it's also too, you know, I get upset, and there was a post the other day, and there's been a few posts that people are like, well, you know, you don't consume and train, don't do any of these things, and it's still, you know, a very broken pseudoscience that doesn't understand the importance of doing doing both of them, how they're interwoven, opposed to alcohol, which, you know, again, there's detriment. So, you know, it is, man. I think it's going to be, you know, and it was the generation before the reefer madness, all those idiots. I think this newer generation, your generation, and the next one, the successive ones, are starting to pioneer the understanding, right? You know, the science, the education piece is about, you know, really what this is doing, you know. And I hope that, you know, the next thing is, I hope that the next new norm, the next new cool, is people out literally consuming and, you know, just like training and consuming. You know, there's a couple of brands that I'm closely connected with, but one of the brands that I really like is you know, Ric Flair's brand. So he has a drink, right? But his drink has what is it? Theogens. It's psilocybin based. So it's got adaptogens, mushrooms, and all that. So instead of having caffeine, which is the usual thing that, you know, when you're training, you do, but it just triggers and just trashes your CNS system, they have the adaptogens, which is what the Spartans used to use, which, you know, heightens your focus, cognition, and it doesn't, you know, trash the CNS system and have you know, crash at the end of it. So, you know, we're starting to, you know, filter in, you know, more of the plants. You know, there's a lot of things that they're doing now with CBD and pre-workout supplements. So all that stuff, man, I'm all about.
I heard that drink also allows like your voice muscles to get to like a falsetto, like a woo. I see. I didn't drink it. I didn't drink it. I can't. But I'm sorry, that was a stupid joke. No, thank you for like getting into that, because like I said, I know it was a little bit of a tangent. We've been talking about mental health and stuff, but I just wanted to mention that because some people will say, you know, well, I'm not intoxicated. It's kind of like, how can I get addicted to something that my doctor gives you? Well, I'm not. How could I get fucked up off of something my doctor gave me? You know? So, yeah. Well, Charles, I just, you know, we talked about a lot of different things today, in this episode, rather. And, you know, I wanted to thank you for being willing to be, you know, open about some of the issues you faced, and also just e easy to speak to, you know. And I do have a question that was inspired by our first half of the show. If we can quickly return to dietary topics before we close out. I'm a simple man, right? I could eat pizza every day, as we sort of touched on, and I think anybody could, right? But more to my point, I'm looking for something that, and look, I know you can go in many different directions in this, so feel free to get creative, but I'm just looking for something that's simple, repetitive, and preferably tasty that I could eat. And again, I said I started this with a I'm a simple man, because I really could eat just about the same thing every day. I mean, I try to mix it up so that I don't get bored of a food, but like, what are some starter, just some like healthy foods? Because like, I was thinking of starting with like, you know, steak and chicken, stuff like that, just like meats that don't have carbs, you know, mixing in some veggies and stuff. But like, talk to me. Yeah, what do you How can I get
So I
started?
try, no, man, really, really simply, I try to live like a shark, right? Sharks, as far as what they do, they eat a lot of fats and proteins. But even more to simplify it is think about ancestral, like think about going back to primordial or Paleolithic man, what he would consume, right? So he's going to be the archetype for what we should do right now. And we've gotten away from that. So, again, you're going to want to, eat protein. So, people discourage or they advocate or they discourage meat and vegan, whatever. But there's never been any point in history, documented or notable, where man has sustained himself without protein or meat sustenance. So, steak, absolutely. So get in your proteins. Movement is life, bro. So, the biggest thing with all these things is, you can do, you could. There's a guy that I see, he eats 4,000 calories a day, but when he does it, he does it towards the end of the day. He always consumes his calories at one point. He intermittent fasts, he only has one meal. But the thing about consumption is, when you look at it, what is your daily consumption, your caloric consumption? A lot of people, my clients, they all overeat, So, what I always advocate is get a macro counter. There's MyFitPal, there's a bunch of them. And if you track, it'll tell you what you should eat. Like I think 2000 calories roundabout is where the average person should be, sustain or maintain. Anything lower than that helps you, or that puts you at a deficit. Once we start going into really nuancing some of the things, it tweaks
Sure.
the body, but just that general protocol, bro, you'll be okay. Stay with your chickens, your high meats, your proteins, minimize your dairy. And your sugars. The other thing that I tell, anybody, and this is always like, if you can't spell it, I use real food ingredients. When you look at any of your paneling, when anybody, any of my clients, or they're going grocery shopping, they'll tell me what they bought. I say, great, grab it for me. Read the back of it. If it's not real food that's in those items, like, eggs, water, whatever, milk, parsley, hydrogenate, not, you don't buy it, right? The first five ingredients are listed in order of when how they occur, right? So whenever you're looking at, a box of, whether it be juice or whatever, those first five ingredients are going to be most frequently or the most highest occurrence the ingredients in there. So if you're eating or you're drinking tomato juice, and juice, tomatoes isn't the first item, that's a concern, right? If you're eating mashed potatoes and there's 40 ingredients of mashed potatoes, bro, I've been around for 44 years, so I've always known mashed potatoes would be potatoes, right? Milk, whatever, and mash. That's it. It shouldn't be more than that. So, you got to think about that. Your body knows how to consume real food items. It doesn't understand the rest, So when you're eating the Skittles, which tastes so good, with the partially hydrogenated, the red four, red five, body doesn't know all that. You know what I mean? Your body's gonna have to sort. It's gonna have to, part different things and throw away half of that. That you're not, that it's not going to use. So, real food items, think like a shark, proteins and fats and movement, man. Like the simplest thing you can do for life and longevity is just walk. So, I try to have everybody, all my clients, just for this is not just for the aesthetic purposes. This is longevity and feeling good about yourself. But I try to make sure they do 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Hell yeah.
And on your phone or any of your smart devices, you'll have a pedometer, I should tell you. But any more than that, like you start getting into weight gain, sorry, fat loss and muscle building. But that's another conversation. But yeah, man, it's not that, it's not as hard as people, make it out to be. Many moons ago, and he's a bad example to use, but he basically kind of sums up what I'm telling you about as far as just consumption in general. There's a guy who had a bunch of weight. He became a spokesperson for a brand, but his name was Jared. Jared for Subway many moons ago was this big fat dude that decided that he wanted to lose weight and he was just going to eat one thing. And he just lived by the, by the Subway menu. He literally would have three subs a day, which, people are like, no, that's crazy. How can he do with that with bread? It doesn't matter. He was still able to keep it within his caloric, his count, because it was three well-portioned subs. That's it. You know what I mean? So yeah, if you want to do pizza, you could. That guy shows that, you could, but I don't know how good you feel, but you could, hypothetically, you could do that. I wouldn't advocate.
It's funny, as I've been like weaning myself off of It's not like I eat pizza every day, but whenever I do eat pizza, I go all out. So now when I do eat pizza, I've been limiting myself to like 2 to 3 slices, instead of going like 4 or 5, six,
Right? No, I feel it, man. My thing, my vice, Cole, is I love mod. And who has one slice of a mod pizza? Do you know what mod pizza is?
Yeah, I just tried it for the first time when I traveled to DC. Amazing.
So, yo, tell me how much of a cheat code is that? So, you pay what, 8, 10 bucks? You
Yeah.
get as many ingredients as you want, whatever you want. That's it. Yo, I'm in. Pick it the way I want anytime. I never get disappointed because it's exactly what I want. So no, I'm smashing those. But again, I'm resigning that to once a day versus every day like I used to in my youth. That's the other thing that happens. Once you get above a certain age, man, things don't work the way they used to. So you have to be very, specific about what you do. There's things that I used to go do, man. I used to go slam donuts, a couple pizzas, and do it all over again. I can't. I'll suffer. So
Yeah, it's funny. There's like you say, there's a point in time where mom and dad aren't telling you you can't have candy in the morning anymore. And it's like, yeah,
yo, I'm
there's a
gonna go.
reason.
You know what? I can eat a whole ass cake if I want to.
Yeah,
I could go
exactly.
literally to the store and have a whole ass cake. Nobody's gonna say anything else, bro. See, that's the cheat code. That's the biggest thing about being an adult when we all get here all in this grown-up space is that we could all do really whatever you want. Like, who's to stop you? But then there's a few of us who realize, yo, I should be having the cake every day. As cool as it is, I'm probably not going to benefit from that.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, maybe to close, this is an interesting conversation, and then we can definitely wrap. But to your point that you just made, I know I might lose you here and I might even lose some of my listeners, but to your point, there's a lot of things people can choose to do, but it's adults that, are ultimately bound with that decision, right? So I could choose to go parachuting right now. I could choose to do some crazy shit right now. But strangely enough, and this is where I might lose you, I'm not allowed to like buy like pure heroin or, and I'm not saying I want to. I'm just saying that like this is the land of the free. And I find it interesting that like still the war on drugs involves criminalization. And I know some people might point to Oregon and say that was a failure. I don't know. I definitely saw some bad things going on there for sure. But I still don't think that criminalization is the answer. What say you? Where do you stand on the war on drugs? And I'm talking all drugs, just not just cannabis.
I'm a psychonaut, man. So I'm a little weird.
Sure.
When I saw that that LSD is legalized and that what Oregon did, I'm like, it's rough. I don't know how I feel about heroin, but what I do know in this human condition, we're all living it. And who's to say what you can and cannot do? What works for you?
Yeah.
That's where it's kind of weird. That's where it's very weird. For a long time, I was told that if you take LSD, you'll take one bad trip and you'll lose your shit. And now I'm finding out everything to the contrary, that if I take LSD, it can make me like a super smart dude,
Right.
so neural pathways, neural connections that it helps you do. Same thing now, ketamine. Some of these things that I was always historically known that you don't take those. Those are the things that the druggies take. And
Right.
now I'm finding out, nah, that's the thing that smart people take. Everybody's taking they're actually smart drugs. So it's a weird thing, man. It's a very, very weird thing. Again, being an African American, I come from Reefer Madness, which Reefer Madness was, where a bunch of dudes thought that, a bunch of brothers were going to go out, smoke weed, and chase a bunch of girls, so
Yeah.
it's just craziness to disconnect. And
Particularly white women. That's what we were concerned about.
right, right,
Just
right. And
exactly.
full disclosure, brothers smoke weed and we like all women. So,
Right.
nobody's safe. We
Nobody's
don't
safe.
discriminate, because I
That's
know
funny.
everybody's listening.
But it just to take it a step back for the folks that might still, I hope that we didn't lose anybody there. But one thing I did here, and I don't think I would ever do heroin unless like I broke my fucking leg and I needed like some heroin to like oh give me some heroin so I could stop panicking, something like that. But like one thing somebody told me about was the iron, I think it's called the ironclad law of prohibition. I'm gonna Google it really quick just to make sure I'm talking about it right. But it's this idea that all of these products are just they're just products of prohibition. So in other words, oh, the iron law of prohibition. It's the iron law of prohibition is the idea that the more intense the law enforcement is, the more potent the drugs will become. So let me just give a few examples. Cocaine, in Colombia, Peru, wherever they chew on coca leaves, they just chew on coca leaves and make coca tea, and the leaves are really bulky and it's not that big of a deal. But if you want to import a lot of that product into the United States, that's hard because it's a bunch of leafy products. So what do? You make it into powder and you fucking brick it up into little, this is the iron law of prohibition. So similarly with heroin, I don't know that I would want to do heroin, but maybe. I mean, there is ritualistic use of smoking opium, so like maybe, like, I'm not saying that I would do it all the time, but it just seems like organic don't panic in a lot of cases,
Yo, that's crazy. You know what? See, you just blew my mind with that one, Brody. Like, so, I thought about what we have out now that's in widespread bread. Like, what is it? Fentanyl.
Yeah,
And a
exactly.
lot of these are derived because of what's on the market. Like, that's crazy. I really didn't place the correlation.
And I would even say, like, things like cannabis concentrate are an example of this. Sometimes I've had people that are against cannabis legalization on my show, and they'll say, oh, when you legalize it, they come out with this high potency because they're trying to addict their customer. No, dude, you haven't been paying attention. Dabs and hash have existed forever. People have always been trying to concentrate this stuff.
Right.
So, like, I'm not saying that some companies don't, try to make products more enjoyable or whatever, or more addicting, like they say. But I'm just saying that these products, I would even say, like, dab pens specifically, dab pens and dabs, they're products of prohibition. And the reason is, personally, in a state that has been in prohibition for quite a while now, I used to use dab pens a lot because they don't smell. It's this idea that because the laws are more intense, I've gotten this more potent version of the drug that doesn't smell as bad. It's just crazy because it, like, all feet, it's like a cycle that we're
Well,
just
you know what they
causing.
say, what is it? Necessity is the creator of invention.
Yes,
So,
bingo. That's it.
right? We're always going to need our fix. So what you're telling me is you make it hard for me. I'm going to get resourceful. I'm going to get cleaner. I'm going to get stronger. You know, it is, man. It really, it's that law of invention. And I, man, now you got me off on another one about just now why we're doing this and some of the things like that's awesome. That's so crazy. I really did not even look that deep into that to see the correlation, but it is. And it's directly causal. Yeah. That's great, bro.
Well, Charles, I doubt this is the last time we'll chat on the podcast, but before you go, did you want to say anything that you thought about last time that we, or that just that we hadn't touched on that specifically you wanted to talk about before we go?
Nah, man, I just want to tell you, bro, I love everything that you're doing. I want you to continue to do this, continue to be organic and transparent like you have. Your humility speaks, bro. It's one of the reasons why I couldn't wait to do this. Tony, who's a mutual friend of ours both, spoke incredibly highly of you. So you know how it is, man, like laws of attraction. So no, I want to stay tethered, bro. And please, this will not be the first. Whatever you need and ditto, I'm gonna hit you up.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, if I don't hear from you, you'll definitely hear from me. This won't be the last time we speak. So, folks, I just want to say, I hope you found as much value in this conversation as I did. And if you're out there and having a tough time, I hope that some of the things we talked about were helpful. And definitely check out the podcast description. Once again, all of Charles's socials will be in there. So if you're looking to get a connection, there you go. And I just want to say thank you if you've listened this far. We'll see you on the next episode of The Cole Memo. You all take care.